All right, welcome to yet another episode on the Stretch Street Podcast. This is the Energetic EJ, and you know what I'm going to say next, right? Yes, I am super excited to be here again one more time. I am always excited, and you know, for me, this journey has just been one of, sometimes I feel like I'm selfish with this podcast because it does more for me than just for you. It's not about you alone, it's also about me. The opportunity to get to speak with great minds across the globe, and the opportunity to learn from their experiences and glean from their own life lessons is just phenomenal, and I don't think I want to change that for anything right now. It's such a pillar in my life in this season, and I'm super excited and grateful to have this platform to share knowledge and experiences with you. So welcome back to Stretch Street Podcast. Today on the show, the person I have here, so just get ready for a roller coaster conversation, because my guest today is phenomenal, right? You know, I was looking her up while I was preparing for this session. I'm like, oh my God, I even had to have the conversation with one of my coaching clients, like, man, I feel like we are playing, because some people just have this. Like, they have it covered and they are serious about it. Like, there's a lot to learn from her, just going through her profile and everything. So I'm excited to have this conversation with her, because I know, you know, she started her journey of transformation a bit late, or what we would consider generally as late. You know, she flipped the coin at a very peculiar age. And for me personally, because of the way that I'm also positioning as a coach, speaking to women aged 40 and above, I'm like, yes, this is such a perfect example to say that age is just a number, and you can literally flip things around in your life at any point once you get the truth. All right, so we want to meet my guest today and see what happened. What is that thing that makes her stand out of all the coaches that we have around now, and what can we learn from her own experiences and challenges? So today on the show, I have Jeanne Omler, who is a dynamic business strategist and coach who went from deep debt as a single mother to building a multi-million dollar coaching business. With a background in executive and business coaching, Jeanne helps entrepreneurs, coaches, and service providers maximize their profit and impact by tapping into their genius zone. She's known for her expertise in organic social media strategies and authentic marketing. Jeanne has developed a reputation for helping clients achieve significant breakthroughs without the need for paid advertising. Her journey is one of resilience and determination. After a rocky start, including 18 failed sales calls, Jeanne eventually found her stride, growing her business from zero to seven figures. Her story demonstrates the power of persistence, honesty, and a results-oriented approach to overcoming adversity. Jeanne now runs Jeanne Omler International, where she supports entrepreneurs globally. And I kid you not, you should check out her review page. It will blow your mind off. And so she's building a profitable and sustainable business now. And today we want to get into her head and into her story. Where did it all start from? What was the turning point for her? What are some challenges? What has she found to be challenges for a lot of people on their own journey as well? And what life lessons can she live with us today? These and many more are what we're going to be talking about. So don't go anywhere. Now is the time to grab your cup of tea, your cup of coffee, or your bottle of water, if that is what works for you. And let's get to meet my guest, Jeanne Omler.
No matter how dark the night is, the sun always rises. No matter how hard life gets, keep moving forward. You never know what amazing things are waiting just around the corner. No story is too rough and no journey is too tough. Join us on Stretch Street to be inspired by the stories of people who have been through it all and come out stronger. Stretch Street Podcast. Stretching without snapping.
Hello, hello, Jeanne. How are you today?
I'm doing amazing.
Before we dive right into this conversation of meeting the phenomenal person that you are, can you tell us one fun thing about you? Something most people don't know, but is fun about you.
I was just thinking yesterday, I actually have a pretty good sense of humor. So I think the fun thing about me is I have a better sense of humor than people imagine because I'm like such a serious business person.
Okay. I'm hoping that the goofy side of you is going to pop out during the conversation today. All right. So diving right into the conversation, you started from deep debt, but you worked tirelessly to build this amazing business, working with people from all over the world. And it's like you've cracked a code in getting a certain kind of result over and over again, not just for yourself, but for the people you work with. Can you take us through that story? Where did that start from?
Sure. So I first want to say that I was already a coach for 8 years before I cracked the code. I was you know, offline, and I was at an okay business, but it was all depending on getting out there and meeting people in real life and networking. And that model is broken. There's only a certain amount you can do or get. And I had two young kids, and it was a real hustle. So my one regret was not getting online sooner, because I would have figured this out sooner. And, you know, I don't regret, but that's real. So 8 years offline, developing skills and networking and getting clients in the old way. And I want to mention this. Networking's fine, but if you really want to truly build critical mass with a coaching business, especially, or online marketing business or whatever, you can't do it just doing the networking. It's a numbers game. There's a limited number of people you're going to meet that might even be interested in coaching in the first place. So it's really very limited, and the numbers will never work to get you to millions of dollars. They just won't. So 5 years ago, I had moved to the Midwest. It was a part of the Midwest, and no offense to Midwestern people at all, but Midwestern people don't think the same way as like people from New York. In New York, there's like, we have to make it. There's New York Mid. Everything is really expensive there. So New Yorkers really have to do whatever they can to invest to make things work. And in the Midwest, you're kind of fine there. Things are cheaper. So they're not quite generally as motivated. I'm not saying they're not individuals that are hyper motivated, but on the whole, not as motivated as New Yorkers and, say, Californians to make this work. Okay. So the networking was not working that well. And I thought, I have to figure something out. So 5 years ago, I woke up and I thought, I need to get online and I need to learn how to get clients online, because I was terrible at online. I mean, I had a website, but I mean, social media. I didn't have a following. I wasn't really on there. I knew that there was a way to make money online and I just didn't know how to do it. So I plunked down $10,000 on three different credit cards, more debt. And I just did the first program I could find. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to do this. I'm going to get what I can. I know it's not going to be perfect because people were complaining about it, but I did it, got me online, and I cracked the code on how to get clients online without ads. It's called organic marketing. I didn't even know what that was when I got online. I thought, wow, I can do this. I can be really good at this. So I really worked really hard experimenting and testing and messaging and content, and I figured it out. And people were like, how did you do that? And you're not even really using your website, and you have no email list, you have no following, you have no marketing, there's no branding, there's no nothing. How are you doing this? So I started showing people how to get clients really simply, because it's not hard. And it blew them away, because they realized that all this stuff they're being taught, that you have to have so much in place, funnels and ads and upsells and downsells and big email lists, and you got to get a marketing person and branding and all of that, you do not need. So I got online and I got to $1 million in 17 months, and I helped a lot of people already, and I did it on my own. I had a phone and a computer. I didn't have a lot of help. I got a VA that worked a few hours a day at some point. And then I have a very small team, actually. And I kept it really small, and I'm at over 4 million now, and it's really dialed in. We'd helped over 500 people. And as you said, all over the world. This works all over the world. Okay. I actually had a client from Dubai, actually. I've had a client from almost anywhere. I had a client from Siberia. He was a coach. So it works and it keeps working, and ads really have stopped working. Ads are more and more
expensive. Absolutely.
And exclusive. And the coaching niche is so saturated with ads, so that you really do need something that you can take control of and not sort of pour money down a drain. Ads, I've really tested ads as well. And I think it's really important to know both sides of the coin. Ads really just don't work. They just don't, unless you like have millions of dollars to spend. And even then, the people that are spending millions of dollars, it's still not the deal it used to be. So it's kind of really the only way to get clients, apart from actual networking and meeting people in person, is organic marketing. And the good news is podcasts. are organic as well.
Right. You can say that again. You can say that again. Because this is something that you do like on a regular, I'm wondering, what have you found? Because when you mention organic marketing and things like that, it's a term that we are used to, especially if you've been online for a number of, you know, months, weeks, even, you know, years. You kind of understand, but it's like there has to be something that is peculiar, you know, to the, let's say, there's a method to the madness, as they would say. But beyond the method, before we get to the method, what have you found as some of the mindset that accompany people that stops them from actually getting into the method of this organic marketing that you speak about?
I was just talking about this on a podcast yesterday with a guest. For everything, it's fear. Fear is the thing that keeps people from getting what they really, truly want and desire in their lives. And that is across the board. So it goes for marketing, and it's organic marketing or any kind of marketing or doing anything in your life or changing something or going for it or meeting people or turning up. It is fear. And fear is manifested in many ways. So it's really, I say, the only thing, because fear, anxiety, anger, frustration, you name it, it's all fear, right? The only thing standing between you and your success is your emotions. That is it. That's all. Because if you can neutralize and manage your emotions, fear as well, the main one is fear, then you would just do the work. People would not say, oh, you know, I can't do that now. I better go, you know, do this because that's easier and I'm not ready and I'm not worthy. And all of that is your emotions, mainly fear. Okay. Anxiety also, which is fear, right? Procrastination, which is fear. So, because if we could master our emotions, we would not do all these other things that are not really going for the jugular. Right. And I think you know what I'm talking about because we've all done it. Like me not getting online, I stayed offline. I knew online was the way, but I didn't know anything about it. I thought, well, I'm safe offline. And it was working for a while. And then it really wasn't working. It forced me online. And I just knew that this was another mountain to climb. And that's the fear. Oh, another mountain to climb. I'm afraid of that. It's going to be too hard. Oh, I feel icky. I feel inadequate. It's going to take, it's all emotions that we have not just managed, regulating emotions. I actually have a very quick modality that I do with my clients. It takes 5 minutes. And it gets them from a 10 in fear, anxiety, all of that to a 0. So they can just take the action because that is it. I figured out that is it. Yes, we have wonderful strategies. They work, but they won't work if we don't help our clients to modulate, manage their emotions.
Absolutely. I can really relate with that. And it makes a lot of sense that fear is one of the biggest, you know, obstacle from people taking any action at all, whether that is going forward or even retracing your steps to say, okay, I don't think this has worked. Let's try something else. What was it for you practically that when you mentioned when you wanted to get into the online space, you also had that, you know, initial, oh, this is another mountain to climb, right? How were you able to flip it around to say, okay, you know what is a mountain, we're going to climb it. So what are some practical steps that people can apply to move past that initial fear to get to the next level?
It's really simple. You just need to decide. You just need, there's a point where we have to stop looking for crutches. There's just a point where we have to, yes, I have modalities, but really how I did it was this needs to happen and I'm going to do it. And I have fear and I'm just going to take action and drag those fears behind me. And I'm not going to babysit my fears or process them or be aligned or, you know, it was just, this needs to happen. I had 2 kids. I was in deep debt. I was 54 years old. And I thought, I need to do this now. Now. Now is everybody needs to do it now. Stop making excuses. Stop looking for an easy way. Stop trying to make it like easier. We are living in a culture. And I don't mean a culture in Dubai or America. I mean a general
global culture.
I'm saying in societies where it's okay, you know, where we're not third world. We're living in this world where we are promoting weakness all the time. It's like, oh, that hurts so much. I've got to process that for 20 days and I can't do anything possibly without drinking 10 coffees today. Or I can't, you know, when you hear yourself saying, I can't do this unless, I've heard people say, I can't function unless I've had four coffees. Really, you can't have your day unless you drink four coffees. That's weakness. You should be able to have your day no matter what. Or I can't do this, or I can't possibly do that. The more you're saying to yourself, I can't possibly do that unless XYZ conditions are there, it's weakness. No, you should be able to get up and say, you know what, I'm doing this. Regardless of drinking coffee or not drinking coffee, or, you know, we don't always sleep the amount of hours we should. I'm big on sleep. But, well, I didn't get my 8 hours. I can't possibly function today. Yeah, you can. So I feel like we have to stop succumbing, giving in to weakness all the time. Oh, that's just too hard. I'm going to do something easier, which won't get you where you want. So there's two types of people in this world. There's a lot of different types of people. But in this construct, what I'm dealing with, okay, there's two types of people when it comes to coaching or business or striving or getting what you want or having a successful business. Let's put it that way. Two types of people in business. One, there's the type that says, okay, this is what I want. And they love it. I want this and I want millions of dollars and a great relationship and balance and traveling and all the good stuff and love my life and love my business and a great team, all that great stuff we all want, right? Okay. And they will do whatever it takes to get it. I don't mean anything immoral, unethical, or illegal. If it's not immoral or illegal, apart from that, they will do anything. It's like, okay, I want this. And I understand there's going to be some sacrifice. It's not going to be easy. I'm not going to insist that I work 2 hours a day only and I need to be a millionaire on 2 hours a day, or I don't want it. Well, then you don't want it enough. So that's the first type. This is what I want, and I will do whatever it takes. And I know it's not going to be easy, because nothing worth it in life is easy. And no person ever who is successful has ever gotten it in an easy way. Never. They've worked. So this whole culture of, oh, I don't want to work, but I want to be a millionaire. Really? I hear that all the time. Oh, I just want to plug and play a business. Do you? What's a plug and play business? A plug and play business could happen after you've made so many millions of dollars that you have the money to do some certain kind of product launch where there's millions of the ads and they're going to buy some product. Okay. But somebody that has no money told me the other day, oh, I just want to plug and play. You have no money. You want to make money. You want to change your life, buy a house, but you want to do it in your own way, which never is going to happen. Of magically plugging in something where people know about you and buy your products, even though nobody knows who you are. Does that sound realistic to you? To me, it was highly unrealistic. And I said, look, I'm not saying people have to burn themselves out, because I'm not saying that either. I am not saying we have to burn ourselves out. We don't have to burn ourselves out.
Right.
There is a balance where you're working hard. Everybody has to have some part, has to be some hustle. Then we're having, oh, we don't want the hustle culture. I'm sorry. You're going to have to just embrace some kind of hustle.
Exactly. It's this season.
Until you get enough money to hire people. Yes. To hire people so you're not hustling. I agree. But you can't say, well, I have no money. I have no
budget. And I don't want to hustle. Success,
but I don't want to do the work. And I just want to plug in. Yeah. So there is a la-la land, and people are comparing themselves to people that are further along. And they say, well, so-and-so, XYZ billionaire person, he's doing that. Yes, he
but
is
But ask
now.
How he was.
Mm. He's a billionaire. You cannot compare yourself to, shouldn't compare yourself to anybody. So that's the first type, is they will do anything. They're reasonable. And yes, I know there's going to be work. I'm going to do the work, and I could be lucky and it might take off, and I'll, you know, luck comes into it too. I had no luck with what I was doing. There was no luck in my business. None.
Hard work.
It was all hustle. And it's kind of funny, because some people go, oh, this just happened. Nothing ever just happened for me. So people can never say Jeanne Amour was lucky, because I was not. It was pure hustle. And I think maybe that was on purpose, because God wanted me to figure stuff out so I could help other people. Because if
you
just
can't
happened,
explain it,
how can I reproduce that for
it,
other
absolutely.
People? Yes, that never happened. So the second type of person, bear with me, is the type that loves talking about all the millions of dollars they want to make. And they love doing their you know, I love, you know, creative visualization and vision boards and all of that. But you got to do the work. So they love all that. And they're like reveling. And I love, they got part of that, the manifestation. And I want this and I want millions of dollars. But they will not do what it takes. They're the ones that, but I don't want to work more than 3 hours a day. How are you going to get to $1 million and you're not willing to work 3 hours a day because you want to have balance every single day and spend 4 hours doing yoga and manifestation and 4 hours with your kids? And you know, I always spent time with my kids, but that was it. I didn't insist on having I had no social life for a long time. I didn't care. I just wasn't, you know, taking care of my kids. So those are the two types. They're going to be dreaming and it's great. And I understand I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to invest in myself. And I know you need to invest in yourself because I invested so much. I didn't get here not investing. And a business person knows that you have to have an investment budget for your business. That's just business. That's not just coaching. If you don't know that, that's amateur. Start doing some basic business studies. Okay. And then the other type that doesn't want to do really much at all, except set a website up and tinkle with the website and, you know, make the website and hope, a lot of hoping and throwing mud at walls and paying money for these types of marketing scams that you just, we're going to promise you all that. And they just want people to do everything for them. They're not going to make it. And my advice always is this, zero judgment. If you know that you are not willing to do what it takes, give it up. Have a nice life.
Have a simple life.
But that limbo, just say, look, you know, to yourself, I'm not willing to do this. No judgment. It's just real. Then just have a nice life, because the worst position is being in the middle of wanting
not
stuff,
doing,
not realizing you are never going to, because it causes pain. So you're in limbo forever. You'd be better off saying, you know, I am not going to be prepared. I'm just going to live my life and give that up instead of hoping for something that's never going
to
happen.
Willing to do the work.
Willing to do what it takes.
That is so powerful. And I truly love how you say it with a matter of fact. Like, see, it's either this or that. And I mean, that's exactly what has worked for you. And it is just natural that you can speak to it passionately to say, see, you have to do the work. There is no going around it. And I understand the facade around, you know, but even if you're manifesting, you better be doing the action, taking the action that goes with the manifestation. Otherwise, it's just going to be hope. And hope is not a strategy. Hope is not a strategy.
No, hope's no strategy. Thank you. And one of my jokes when I have events, I don't doing much of it now, but I used to say, everybody, you must understand there is no hope in business. And they all laugh because, you know, it's a double entendre. There is no hope in business. If you're hoping, it's not a strategy. Oh, I hope I get clients. When people say that to me, I'm like, whoa. Now, I won't lie. I struggled with doing the work. I struggled when I first became a coach. I was
Please
not a
tell us, how did you overcome that struggle? Let's hear from your experience.
I understood what I just said. I understood what I just said. Either. And so I've been there. And my coach was like, she say marketing. I said, I feel nauseous because I was not a marketer. I was like, the mere word. I said to her, I was kind of joking, but I meant it. I said, you just made me nauseous. She said,
marketing.
She said the word marketing. She said, oh my goodness, Jeanne. She said, you need to get. And I said, I know. I understood. It was painful because I was not a marketer. And sales, I hated sales. And she said, you need to embrace marketing and sales or you will not have a business. And I thought, okay, it is very hard for me because I was an actress. I never knew how to sell myself as an actress. I thought this is extremely and painful. Because it was making me come out of my introverted self and do stuff I didn't want to do. So I was a struggle. So I don't want people to listen to this and think, oh, but you're a natural, Jeanne Moore. No, I struggled. Introvert. I was very shy in some ways. Rejection. I'd been an actress, so I was rejected forever. And I thought, more rejection. And I hated the word marketing. I thought, oh, spammy marketing. She goes, no, you got to learn how to make it not spammy. I thought, okay, I will. So I'm really a work in progress. And that is why I deeply understand these issues because I have overcome them.
Right. But you know, I want you to just kind of share practically, and I'm a bit careful because I know, again, this is what you do on a daily, right? So I'm not trying to ask for free consultation here, but at the same time,
I'm so transparent.
Absolutely. But I'm just really, I want to ask on behalf of the audience as well, like practically. Now, I appreciate that, you know, you, because even the way you're saying it, you really have been there. Like for you to even use the compare the word, say the word nauseous and marketing, like that captures it so succinctly for a lot of us, and especially for service providers, right? People who, what they offer is almost like intangible.
is not a product that you can say, okay, this is the product, this is how it works and everything. It's like, I'm a coach. I'm like, how do you quantify that, right? So that's one of the challenges that as a coach myself that I've seen, you know, when it comes to marketing and sales, and then sales is very, is a source of discomfort. Like, oh my God, it feels like, oh my God, I'm going to beg for money or I'm going to ask for money and all of that. So what are some practical steps? I know you said you're still a work in progress, but are there anything impractical that you do or that you can share with us that somebody who is really willing to do the work can start doing or can start from to overcome that initial discomfort they have with marketing or sales?
Yes, this usually helps people. Do you go into a supermarket, pick up an item, go to the cashier and say, oh my goodness, are you trying to sell this to me? How dare you sell me something?
No.
It's normal. We go to a market and we don't go, oh my goodness, this market's trying to sell me stuff? What? You're so spammy and weird. You're trying to take my money to give me this bottle of milk or a banana? How dare you? And then when you think of it that way, you realize how ridiculous it is. Right? And oh my goodness, I'm going into a gas station. You're going to take my money and you want to sell me some gas? What? How spammy and weird. You're such a salesy person. When you realize that we are being sold something every day, do you go on Amazon and go, oh my gosh, Amazon, how dare you try to sell me those vitamins or whatever it is you're buying? I buy everything on Amazon. When you realize that you are buying a car, do you go to the car place and go, oh my gosh, you're trying to sell me a car? You need the car. Okay. I mean, yes, car salesmen can be pretty spammy, but you still need the car. Okay. You go into a grocery store. Are you resentful because you're walking into Costco? You probably have Costco.
No,
Dubai,
no, we
right?
don't have Costco yet.
Costco?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
No, but
yeah.
You have a supermarket. Yeah. You have food. We buy food. We buy gas. We buy cars. We buy clothes. Do you go into the clothes place and go, oh my goodness, these people want to sell me some clothes? How dare you? It's so spammy. Whoa. You want my money? I'm not giving you my credit card.
Right.
It's ridiculous behavior in our minds. There is a product or a service. So let's talk about service. When your fridge breaks and the fridge repair guy comes along, are you like, oh my gosh, you want to sell me some repair service?
Right.
No, you need that. And you're paying for it and you gladly pull out your credit card and say, thank you for fixing my fridge or whatever, or mechanic fixing my car. Why is it that coaches and consultants and service providers feel so guilty for providing a service and having somebody pay them for it? Why are you bad? Why is it weird? Why is it spammy? It all comes from your emotions of fear.
Still.
Fear of rejection. Fear they're not going to like me. Fear that, I'm asking, yes, ask for the credit card. I have a service. You want it. We help people. This is what it costs. And when you practice, here's the tip, practice saying to yourself before there's anybody or do some practice sales calls with somebody, what credit card would you like to put that on? Until it rolls off your tongue. Yes. So many people are holding themselves back by tiny fears because it's really not, they're not ready. They can't do it. It's they are so afraid of saying, here's what I do. This is the value. I'm highlighting the value and the results more than value. This is what happens. This is what you're going to get. How does that sound? Sounds great. Would you like to know what the investment cost price? It's all price. I just say price. Nobody cares whether you say investment price cost or how much. It's all money. So all these tactics of, oh, don't say that. I just say, yeah, you want to know what it costs? You know what the price is? They're like, yeah, sure. This is what it costs. Bang. They either want it or they don't. But if you're like, oh, they will feel that you don't think it's worth it. So it's the fear. And we get people past that because we also teach the sales piece. So once people get over there, like, oh my gosh, Sean, that was it. I was holding myself back for years doing all sorts of other courses and certifications. And this is great. Coaches always just go, I need another certification. It takes them another year and then more excuses to not be selling. And then they get another certification and then they get another and a bunch of certifications when all they needed to do was get clear on practicing a sales call, asking for money and realizing they're worth it. If they don't think they're worth it, then we need to do some mindset that you are worthy and ready right now. So stop doing things that are just time wasting to put yourself down and make you feel worse. And I think you were telling me that, you know, some people, you know, get jobs in the coaching companies where they're, you know, they're just working in a coaching company and they're getting the clients given to them and they turn up because they don't have to sell. They're not developing their business or themselves because they don't feel great about that. They know they've kind of given up on developing their own business. That's not what they want. So they're not doing. And then they're eroding their confidence. Yes, okay, you're getting coaching experience, but you are not developing your empowerment and your strength as a business person. And that kind of coach is a much stronger coach and much better male, you know, model for their clients. And they're more powerful. So when you hire a coaching company and that coach is assigned to you, we all know that's not a business person. And if it's business coaching, why would you listen to that person? They don't know how to develop their own business. It's broken.
Right.
Life coaching is different.
Right. Well, that is so helpful. I mean, you just said it the way it is. And I think, you know, it's even hard to hear as well, but it's the truth that needs to be said and needs to be heard and needs to be walked through to get to the other side. Otherwise, like you said, it's just about the excuses. Right. And, you know, I can really relate to, oh, I just need one more course. Oh, I just need to learn this one other thing. Oh my God, I just need to. And the funny thing is sometimes even goes deeper and okay, maybe I need to work with this coach. And then you pay and register with the coach and don't do the work, I still run away, you know?
No, that's different. I'm not talking about coaching programs. I'm talking about just
No. I mean, I'm just saying that on the part of the people who make the excuses, it goes deep. It goes deep. Like people actually pay to work with coaches and they still bail out because they don't want to do the work. They want the the coach to do the work. Yeah.
Which right we have a whole team that deals with that. Like we have mindset coach. We have support because I'm highly aware of that. So we won't take a client if I don't think they're going to do the work. I just won't. Do you think you're going to? I say to them, will you do the work? Yes, I will. Are you sure? Because this won't work unless you do the work. And they're like, whoa, she's unselling me. I'd rather unsell somebody and let them go, no, I will do the work. Great. Okay. Right. Let's do it then. So it's not about tricking people or coaxing them or persuading them to please do my program. It has to be, look, this is what it is. This is the value. Here are the results. Nicely, do you want to do this? Yeah, I do. Okay, let's do it. But will you do the work? Yep, I'm going to do the work. You know, but then we have a mindset coach and me, and we're helping them to do the work. So it's not like, yeah, do the work. We are very compassionate in my program, but I don't feel we are serving people by sugarcoating stuff. And that's what I'm saying. And people have said, oh, Jean, I'd prefer to work with this coach. That's because their delivery is nicer than mine. Yeah. But then it doesn't work because it's all about their emotions. They just want to feel, you know, oh, love and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I say, did that coach work? No, they didn't. So what do you want? Do you want results and somebody that lies to you and says, oh, it's all going to work. Just do a bit of work and no results, but we want you to like us. Yes, of course I want my clients to like me. I'm great friends with most of them, but we're friends because they're like, I really love the way you tell it like it is, Jean, because this is pushing me forward. All I care about is respect back and forth with my clients, respect and love, because we teach them with love.
And results.
And results. That's what they're paying us for. I'm not here to say, oh, I just want my clients to like me. I hope they do, because we're doing our best. And we, it's like sometimes like kids, you know, kids, you don't just tell kids things they just want to hear. They don't respect that.
Sure.
And no discipline. Like kids don't love parents more that don't discipline them. That's been proven.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yes, get help with the business development part and then go in
and do the work
and choose a program that does. We have a lot of support in my program, unlimited one-on-one actually with me. So that's rare that a multi-million dollar coach says you have unlimited one-on-one with me.
Amazing.
No extra. They're like, what? So that has to happen too. And there are a lot of bad programs.
Absolutely. You know, when I saw your review page, I'm like, this is the work. Like this is the work, you know, just going through that page and listening to all the different reviews from the different people you've worked with and your clients, you know, your interviews with your client. I'm just like, okay, fine. This is the work. And so it's almost like, okay, you do the work, you say it as it is. And it's just the result is what is the yardstick for saying, are you really getting the result out of this? And I think that is beautiful. As we begin to wrap up this session, what would you say is your biggest lesson so far in all of the journey from moving from where you were struggling to where you are now and even helping other people? What is your biggest life lessons that you can leave with us today?
You know, it's really, you just got to keep going. If you want something, you have to keep going. Even when things look really bad, you just have faith, you know, not hope, have faith. I have faith in God, by the way. So I'm like, okay, this isn't working. And this feels really bad because it's not working, but I will keep going and I will keep paying people to help me get those answers. I kept investing, and some of it was bad, some was good, but all in all, I'm winning. And no, you know, investors know that if you even get 3 investments out of 10 that work, you're winning. That's the investment rule, that you've got 3 out of 10. And, you know, if they're 3 good ones, then it depends on, you know, if the 3 are making up for the 7 that don't make money. So it's really just about like, yeah, the lesson is what I did is just move forward and drag your fears behind you no matter what. Just that's how I got where I am. If I didn't do that, I would have gotten nowhere. I would be like still nowhere, hating my life, deep debt. My daughter's seeing their mom's not a success, because that's important to model that I wasn't a success and I picked myself up is better than just being a success the whole time. So I see the value in that too. And they see it too. So now their mindset is, oh, we can go through bad stuff. We can always redeem ourselves. We can always turn it around. And that is a better lesson than I'm just successful. And it's always been that way. They saw the struggle.
I love that.
Yeah. So I think that's a really valuable lesson. I'm glad that I could model that, because that's a better life lesson for anybody. You can turn this around at any time.
Right.
Don't give up. It doesn't matter. I was not techie. I was older, deep debt, single mom, no network, no mailing list, nothing. No. They're like, oh, you had an audience. No, I had no audience. None. These are all excuses. Oh, but you had this. No, I didn't. And people challenge me. Oh, but you had an email list. No,
but you have now.
You had this. I had a small email list. I have an email list now that's very small, and we have problems with it, and I have to fix it all the time. And it's not where I get a lot of my clients. You know, I think it's good to build an email list, but there are a lot of problems with email lists, and you can't count on them. You know, you can't. And it's harder to build them up now than it used to be. So all those people that have been marketing that are well known, that have huge lists, they were building them when it was easier. So again, don't compare yourself to the big people that have, oh, I built my list. Yeah, that was 10 years ago. It was easier. So marketing with ads and all of that, the funnel stuff, doesn't work the way it used to. So when they're saying, well, I did this. Yes, Russell Brunson, you were online.
Anything.
Anybody put any ad online, it worked. Yeah, he admitted that. He was lucky he started when he did. But saying, oh, this is what I did, it's not even valid, you know, now. It's not the same days, and he's almost a billionaire.
Right. Honestly, I agree with you.
So really what's left is how to sell yourself without ads and get one client, another, and another, and another, and build it up, and then get some help and love your life and help other people. Simple.
Oh, thank you so much. I don't want to end this session without asking this. You said you started at 54. When you flip this, and you've been there for about 5 years now, or 8 years?
Yes. Yeah.
So you're 59. How are you keeping up? Come on. Like, you look so great. Tell us a secret of just one beauty secret.
Well, this is the thing. I'm so into health, and I wasn't always like so, I mean, no, I was stressed out and that wasn't healthy, but I'm so into health, and I've always eaten really well and, you know, always exercise. And it's been, you know, it's better now because I have more time, but I've always also been into skincare. Like ever since I was 13, I was like, oh, I'm going to really take care of my skin. So I've always been into health, and, you know, I did eat the one thing that I did eat a lot of is sugar. I like sweets, but I'm not eating those anymore, but you know, take care of yourself. So I never ate a lot of junk food. My kids, I always made them organic food, mostly organic food, even when I had no money. I guess the two things that when I was stressed out is sleep. I wasn't getting enough sleep for a while, and I was eating sweets. So those are like my two things. But now I'm really like trying to get more sleep. And so yeah, it's health. I think, you know, it's not about pushing yourself and neglecting your health. I never wanted to be that person that was successful but unhealthy. So I always took care. And I think health is so important. That's why I'm not saying to burn yourself out, not sleep and do all that. It's not my message, because it's not worth being successful and being a millionaire if you're in bad health. It's not worth it.
Right.
That's my message.
Absolutely.
So look after yourself.
You're gorgeous. You're beautiful. Well done for looking out for yourself.
Oh, thank you. So are you.
One more thing. Just share with us one of your productivity hack before you leave. One productivity hack. Yeah.
Ooh, that is a good thing. This is how you get over not taking action. I did this when I was a huge procrastinator. I was just really big procrastinator in my life, my whole life. And I realized I had to cure that. I thought, I need to build this business. And I started 13 years ago. I have to stop this. So what I did, I started, look, how can I stop this? Basically, I set a timer. I write down what I need to do that I'm avoiding. And I set a timer for 15 minutes. And I immediately start doing what I wrote down. And there is no negotiation. And I just work for 15 minutes. And then it rings and I just set it again. And before you know it, you've done like, you just set it and set it. Before you know it, and this is a modified Pomodoro technique.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh my goodness, this just really, I became super productive because I had no time. I had zero time. I thought, I cannot do my normal fiddling around. And I would just like, okay, I only had like 4 hours to work. Once my kids got a bit older, I'd get a babysitter for like 3 or 4 hours a day. And I'd be like, okay, my 3 hours, then I'd put them to bed. And then I would work from 7 till midnight. So I thought, okay, I can do 2 or 3 hours here, another 5, that's 7 hours working on my business. And I realized that I needed to do the work and stop sitting around thinking about doing the work. And that's how I did it. Set the timer, no negotiation, do what you're struggling with. And you're like, wow, I just wrote this whole presentation in an hour and a half, because presentations used to take me days. So that's the hack. Write it down, set a timer, and just do it.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. It. I love it. That's augmented Pomodoro effect. It's funny. I was just thinking about that earlier today as well, because I'm currently also going through just like how to be more productive and everything. Like, I think I saw somewhere, one of the resources I was looking at was like, okay, 90 minutes and then 20 minutes break. I'm like, okay, that's good. That's like, it's, well, that it's too long. Yeah.
That's too. 15 minutes. And usually after 6 of those, exactly, you've done an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Then take a break. Or you have to take a, you know, a WC break. Okay. But to me, you're just in and out, like just focus. And then you just keep like set it again. And you're like, wow, I'm on a roll. Why would I stop? Because if you stop,
then you get it. Yeah.
You got to get back in. So to my thing is, you try to get 6 of those, an hour and a half, then take a little break.
Right.
Go back to
yeah. The trick is to trick them. Like, it's just 15 minutes and then another. It's just another 15 minutes. And then
yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. You've been amazing. Keep doing what you're doing with helping, you know, service providers, coaches, business owners to just 10X their businesses and to get sales organically. And I love that. But again, it boils down to doing the work. Do the work. You can't abdicate that to any other person. You have to do the work. At least you have to start the process, even if you're eventually, like now, I believe when you started, you didn't start with a team, but right now you have a whole team supporting you on the job.
Oh, no, I mean, even now I have a very small team, and actually I've got to hire a couple of people because I don't want, there's that other thing of plug a team in. That's another management job. So you have to make sure that you love managing, and I don't. So I keep my team smaller because then you create another whole job. By the way, when you say do the work, I have to just, I keep hearing that. You've got to know what the work is before you do it. And so when people say, I'm just going to do the work, the problem is they don't know what the work is. And you cannot do the work if you don't have a strategy. They're just doing random work.
Doing
the work. What are you? Do you have a strategy? You have to have a strategy. Yes.
Thank you for plugging that in. Like, you have to actually recognize the work that you're doing. What work are you doing? And then do that work and then get the result that you want. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. I look forward to meeting you in person when you do visit Dubai. Please let me know about that if you have an event or anything. It'd be great to connect with you in person.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Thank you for having me. This is fun.
Absolutely. All right, guys, thank you so much for being a part of today's episode. I hope that you've learned a lot. Like, this is one episode you have to share with your friends, especially with your friends who are into the service business. Share with them, because this is something that should break them off whatever it is that is holding them down. I have met with a lot of people, even I fall into that category to a level, but I'm grateful for the work that I'm doing on myself to push past that, all the excuses, like, okay, it's because I don't have this, it's because I don't know that, it's because I don't, like, there are no because. You can get the job done, you can move your business forward, you can do the work, but you need to, like she said, know the work that needs to be done, and then go right in roll up your sleeves and do the work that needs to be done to get the results that you want. Remember, there are only two types of people. People who know what to do, who know what they want, and are willing to do whatever it takes to get it. Not illegally, not immorally, not any way bad, but do the hard work that needs to get them there. Or you could just be a dreamer, keep dreaming, keep talking about it, but not ready to do the work. I hope that you are going to join the club of those of us who are willing to do the work and get the result that we desire. Until I come your way again next week with another episode on the Stretch Street Podcast, remember that challenges are not exclusive to any of us. We all go through them. But when we sit and take the posture to say, okay, what am I supposed to learn from this challenge? Then we're able to distill the life lessons, and that lessons can then become a source of value. This is what John did, right? She learned like, okay, this is what it takes. And now she's helping other people do the same work. So don't run away from challenges. Face them head on, learn from them, and use the lessons that you learn to help yourself as well as helping other people. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.